Welcome back to the Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM in the Greater East Side. Dr. Stuart Regis was demoted and put on probation because he says of his conservative politics. This comes several months after the Stranger misquoted him in his discussion on race relations on campus, which we covered pretty extensively on this show, including posting the audio of what was actually said. Stuart Regis right now is a principal lecturer at the Paul G. Allen School of Computer Science and Engineering at the UW. He wrote about what's happening to his career over at the website Quillette, and he joins me now. Professor, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
So when your three-year appointment came up for review right before the end of the year, you lost your primary teaching duties. You were put on probation. So explain in your position, from your position, what role you think your personal politics played in that decision.
Well, we've been trying to hire teaching faculty for years, and I am the only lecturer who hasn't been reappointed for a three-year period, which seems crazy. I'm also the most senior. I have the highest faculty rank, and I'm the only faculty member who's won the highest teaching award that the university has. So it just seems clear that there was something else going on in this vote. You know, it's very weird to give a senior person a one-year reappointment. You know, even the faculty code says that the normal thing would be a three-year reappointment. So they had to go to the provost to get special permission to be able to give me this probationary type appointment.
So you've been pretty outspoken about your beliefs. I wouldn't even necessarily call them conservative, not outwardly, even though you may very well be a conservative. One particular position that got you in trouble was your explanation as to why women are not getting into computer science. That was an article that was shared by Jordan Peterson, who the left absolutely loathes.
Yeah, basically, I had noticed what happened to James Damore at Google, and I thought that was an overreaction. So I talked to a lot of people here about it, and I found that people had really strong emotions about this. So I kind of tried it myself. I wrote some of the same things he did. I mean, basically, the main point I made is that women and men make different choices for careers. I mean, you'd think that wouldn't be a controversial thing, but people, ever since the moment that article came out, people have been calling for me to be fired because it's unacceptable to say that.
On top of that, you attended the affirmative action bake sale that was put on by the college Republicans. The reason you gave was because you just kind of wanted to see how people reacted, which is actually why I was there as well. I was kind of curious how the campus would react, and they reacted the exact way that I thought. I was there along with my producer at the time. We just happened to be near you as you were getting yelled at by one particular student, and it was a conversation that was completely misquoted by the Stranger.
Yeah, actually, it's great that you guys did that. I mean, you have a wonderful resource online with that five-minute clip, because I think it's very clear I'm not trying to belittle them, or I'm not trying to deny their existence. I was trying to, you know, the existence of their experiences. I was trying to have a real conversation with that young woman. She was, you know, kind of, she wasn't very friendly.
Yeah, no, she wasn't having it.
Yeah. So, and, I got this message from the director of our school, you know, where he was just like, you seem to be almost gleefully denying the experiences of our minority students, which is, what? Where did that come from? You know, he didn't listen to your clip. He didn't have any
of
that information. He just saw the misquote, you know, from the Stranger.
Which, by the way, the misquote was essentially saying, you claiming that racism doesn't exist on campus, and you said, in reality, that it's not pervasive. It's not something that is rampant with racism on campus, which is 100% true.
Yeah, no, this is a very, yeah, the issue is not whether there's still racism. I mean, it would be crazy to deny that there's not still racism. The question is how significant it is. And, you know, I was saying that I don't think it's rampant, you know, and that got the crowd all worked up. They were all upset about that.
So how do you identify politically?
Libertarian leaning, you know, I kind of probably would call myself an independent these days, but I've worked with libertarians in the past.
So is there any proof based on political beliefs that you have? Obviously, you look at it, and to me and you, it seems pretty clear that's what it is. But obviously, when we're talking about discrimination on the basis of a political viewpoint, which is illegal in the city of Seattle, it does need to rise to a level of, can you prove it?
Yeah, that's a question that I'm kind of exploring. It's hard to prove things like this. A lot of people have told me things, you know, behind closed doors about, I know that this happened, or I know this was said, or, you know, so I know there's a lot of stuff that people are doing, but they don't want to say it openly, mm-hmm. you know, that this is the reason that we're voting the way that we are. But it just seems clear that, you know, whether why would I be the one person who's given a probationary reappointment?
And there's nothing that has happened in the last 3 years beyond these political disagreements in any of your courses that could give them reason to believe that you're not a good professor?
No, I get the same emails I got before. In fact, last year, I did an honors seminar where we read this book, Coddling of the American Mind.
Mm-hmm. Greg Lukianoff co-wrote it.
Yeah, Lukianoff and Haidt, right. I got the highest teaching evaluations I've ever got. You know, I included a couple of quotes in my Quillette article from some students of mine who, you know, they really got it. They really got the idea of being open to other ideas and hearing all sides and not freaking out.
Yeah, God forbid they actually be put in positions where they can listen to a different idea and see actually how they would respond. If you're just joining us, we are talking with Stuart Regis. He is a professor at the Paul G. Allen School of Computer Science and Engineering at the University of Washington. He says he's been demoted, and it kind of seems like he's getting set up to be released at the end of this 1 year probation that he's on, all due to his political beliefs, which very clearly lean in the direction of libertarianism. He wrote about it over at the online magazine Quillette, Quillette.com, Quillette.com. I want to talk about some of the recommendations that a group of students put together for the UW after they initially complained about your article originally in Quillette about why women don't get into coding. And I want to go just through like four of them just because they jump out at me as just absolutely insane, and I'm curious how far they've actually gone. So one of the recommendations was a relaxation of grading on coding style. Were grades relaxed? Was that what the UW asked you to do?
That is part of the recommendations, that there's a feeling that there's a competitiveness in the course and that does not promote inclusivity. The claim is that minority students don't do as well in a climate like that, so we need to, you know, make the courses less competitive.
Has that been true in your experience?
No. In fact, what I find for women is that the way to attract women is not to teach an easy course, because then they have no idea whether they're very good at it. It's good to teach a challenging course, but make sure they have the resources they need to succeed. Because then when they do well in a challenging course, it tells them that they might really belong in this field.
So another one they wanted you to do is reduce the amount of time you spend going after people who are cheating. Did you actually have to do that?
Well, that's one of the goals, is to reduce the effort by 50%, you know, that we put into cheating cases. They don't say how. There's been no reduction in cheating cases. It's a goal to spend, you know, half as much time.
And is that a goal that it was put in front of you from the school, saying you have to, you know, abide by, or is this just recommendations from a student group?
This is a group of faculty who put together these recommendations, and they put together a report, and basically, there's going to be a new committee that's going to work on implementing these recommendations. They've taken the interim management away from me. It's now going to be managed by this group.
My favorite one was, and I just want to read directly from your Quillette article, review of all course materials for inclusiveness. For instance, of a lecture that involves calculating body mass index, BMI, using guidelines from the National Institutes of Health, the report noted that it, quote, seems insensitive to present students with a program that would print out that some of them are obese while others are normal. That's insane to me.
I agree. I think this is just crazy. This is theory that these young people are fragile egos, you know. We have to make sure never to make anyone feel bad. I mean, these are government guidelines from the National Institutes of Health. I mean, I didn't write this, you know, set of guidelines. I'm just implementing what they had. But, you know, we wouldn't want anyone to be upset, you know, in the course.
So it seems to me, and, you know, I'm sorry if this is harsh, but they're going to fire you. Is that what you generally feel?
That's what my friends think, that, you know, that they're kind of in the process of doing it slowly, yeah.
So have you come to terms with that? Are you looking to fight back? You know, you're in a position right now where you've got another year, knowing that at the end of this, and we put knowing in air quotes, of course, that they're probably not going to consider you any further. So how do you get motivated, and what do you do for that next year?
Well, you know, I had saved up enough money that I thought about this before I published my article. I saw what happened to Damore. You know, you have to think about these kinds of possibilities. And I guess my thought was that, you know, if I can end up getting fired for this, it was worth getting fired for it to be able to point out to people what's going on.
Would you sue?
I've thought about it. There are a lot of people recommending that I have a lawyer look into it. So that's something I'm exploring.
And just because I'm curious, you say your principal duties have been lessened. What does that mean? What do you currently do?
I've been the person who holds these intro courses together. I mean, you know, we have thousands of students taking these courses, so there's a whole lot of little details to get right, a whole lot of decisions to make, you know, the management of, you know, 80 undergraduate TAs and, you know, several staff members. So that's basically been taken away from me.
Wow. So you still are teaching classes. Have students been aware of what's been going on?
Somewhat, but, you know, only here and there do students seem to be aware of what's going on.
Well, we wish you the absolute best. I'm sorry to say that it this interview is probably going to be used against you because you dare to talk to a conservative talk show host. But keep us abreast of exactly what's going on. This is an outrage. This is a clear abuse of power. Unless they have any reason, legitimate reasons, to let you go that we don't yet know about, it seems pretty clear that this is all based on the controversy of you daring to have a position that's different from some, you know, 19-year-old college student who thinks he or she knows best. Stuart Regis, right now, still is a principal lecturer at the University of Washington in the Computer Science and Engineering Department. Thank you so much for stopping by, and I wish you the absolute best of luck.
All right, thanks for having me on, Jason.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show, 1-800-465-8770. If you want to send me a text message right now, let's get you home the right way with Right Way Traffic.